All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show, episode 33. Spring has sprung. The date of recording is April 1st. And we're going to have a lot of fun tonight on the old show. The dads will be around the corner in a minute, but I always give this quick recap. We are just four dads with 12 kids between us. We're not experts, but we listen to them. We react to them, and we share what we've learned. There's a little pop culture in the podcast. There's a lot of parenting, a lot of shared stories, laughter, and experience. We hope you can relate. Use the other 23 hours of day to do life, but for the next 45 to 53 minutes, put the ears on, come hang out with us. It's your place to put up your feet or down if you're exercising, driving, or pulling out of the parking lot at Trader Joe's. This is the place to be. We've got a lot on tonight's show. We're going to be talking March Madness, a wrap-up of bracketology. I'm going to be discussing spring break. Spring break. The guy across from me smiling. Baseball's back. The flowers are blooming. We'll also be going through, are we getting old or having fun with it? Because as we get older, it's kind of fun to mess with your kids, right? Right. We'll be doing some great tweets of the week. We have smart articles by smart people. And tonight's article is from the Christian Science Monitor, and it's called "This is Crazy Pants. Pandemic Redefines Parenting Ideals." It's a very interesting article, and I look forward to having the guys in to talk about that. We're going to be doing 3-2-1 go about self-care and things that make us smile. Speaking of things that make me smile, I'm joined by a very special guest tonight. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Hello, I'm Landon.
Landon, what is today and why is it special to you?
There are a couple reasons. First of all, we had just gone to Barnes & Noble. And second of all...
Not a sponsor. Yes.
And second of all, yet. It's April 1st.
April 1st. Did anybody do an April Fool's joke in your class today?
Let's just say a lot of them did.
Okay. Well, the reason you went to Barnes & Noble is because we're getting ready to go on a big old Griswold road trip. Where are we going?
Where's going that? To Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon. All right. So are you looking forward to it?
Yes.
So we had to prep you guys and get you ready. You went to Barnes, and what books did you get real quick?
I got, first of all, the new Rowley Jefferson book, mm-hmm. The Spooky Stories.
Yes.
And I got, from the same author I've been reading from, The Miscalculations of Lightning World.
This is fantastic. Do not burn through those tonight. You will be in the Griswold minivan for many hours, and I need you to save them, okay?
I will.
All right. All right, well, I'm going to let you go inside. It is Podcast Pizza Night. I love you, and I will see you in the house. The guys are coming around the corner next. Dad Timeout Show.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, the gentlemen have returned. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Aloha.
Huh? Aloha.
Are you pleasantly surprised by the time of day and the temperature?
I've never seen you guys in daylight. Time. This is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Daylight savings. It's magnificent out here right now.
Yeah. Don't my eyes look nice?
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. They look less puffy for some reason. That. What is that?
Yeah, I've started taking self-care and I put on eye things now. I haven't really gotten into it yet, but the compliments, keep them coming.
You do look fabulous.
Mark, you weren't here last episode. You were on some glorious vacation without your children.
That's right.
But we were here working.
Yes.
Working.
Yes.
Under the tarp, as they would say, as the rains came down here in Northern California. Lifting wires, dodging puddles, and ended up recording. So it's kind of funny that our next recording is like Nirvana.
I brought Hawaii back with me.
72 and sunny.
Birds are chirping.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you can hear that.
You're welcome.
It's birds
like
are
Mary
chirping.
Mary Poppins up in here. Yeah.
We keep it real. We're live from the Outback Studios, outdoor studios. Like we said in the beginning, we're four dads with 12 kids between us. We're not experts, but we try and listen to them. We try to be real. We try to react to them. We try to share what we've learned. Subscribe, and leave a review whenever you listen or whatever you listen on. We're pretty much everywhere now. it would help us a great deal in the algorithms of life, and it would help grow the show. It is exciting. We always give shout-outs this time of show, and we've definitely got some new followers. But let's just catch up real quick. I have a big announcement to make.
Oh. Here we go.
Yes, big announcement. So I completed my century ride today. Okay. Just give me a round of applause.
I don't know what that means.
Is that 100 miles or something like that?
So
he turned 100 in his biking years.
Oh. We bought one of the fancy bikes. It was kind of a splurge, but my wife and I felt like we hit this window in the pandemic where we were basically two grimaces from McDonald's, just kind of slogging around the house like, hey, well, what are we eating tonight?
I love you.
What are we drinking tomorrow? What are we eating? So I had this epiphany around the new year, ironically, and then we ended up getting a bike, and it's a big deal if you're in this community. I know it's kind of crazy cultish right now, but the Peloton community is pretty supportive, fun, cool, and I got to my 100th ride today since we bought the bicycle.
Congrats. Right. Hey. Right.
I may not be here tomorrow. Because I tend to get competitive, and I get on those silly little leaderboards, and I'm like, I am not going to let this guy from North Dakota take me down, especially because I put my age up there. I don't care. Like, it has 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. I'm like, this 20-year-old is not going to take me out. I am pushing as hard as I can. So, Anyway, that was my big moment tonight.
Good job. That's fantastic.
Right, right before we came over. Yeah, I don't stick to much, as we all know. your planking challenges and apps, Chris. I tried, but I can't get there. But yeah, so that was a big news. And today's April 1st. Happy April 1st, everybody. Happy spring. Oh, yeah. Spring.
Happy first day it's of so baseball. Springy.
First day of baseball, too.
Yes,
the team
night.
Up the road, the Oakland A's, do they play at home tonight?
They are playing at home.
Wow. So if they win, we might even hear fireworks because we can pretty much hear anything in our backyard.
And we're going to celebrate.
I think 20% capacity. The stadiums are in California are doing 20%, so there's a lot of people heading to the game.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, slowly but surely that light is becoming brighter and brighter. So let's just hope that the country can keep on task and everything keeps rolling out the way it should roll out. Did you guys have any April Fools-y stuff today?
No. Forgot
no,
it was.
We had a funny one in a way. We have a morning assembly. It's a video morning assembly, and all the classrooms watch it in homeschool. So the 7th and 8th graders got on, and they're like, "Hey, everybody, we've got kind of bad news, but we know you love school so much that we're going to go ahead and have everybody come in on Monday because it's our spring break." So my first grader comes running. And she's like, Dad, we really do have school next week. We can't go to the Grand Canyon. We can't do anything. And then you hear on the screen in the other room, April Fools.
Oh. That's
school wide,
that's
too much. Man. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's pretty gutsy of the old administration.
Yeah, we had a couple of funny ones. Well, it was the kid assembly.
Okay.
If you read the lines quickly, you could figure it out. We had a couple funny ones. The kids pulled a couple funny ones on us. I'm not on holiday. Like, I don't care about Halloween. Don't care about April Fool's Day. Like, St. Patty's Day, I had a little bit of the tradition going, but like, I don't really dive into this one. I save my holiday for the big boys.
I mean, it's all prefaced on forgetting it, right? It's only fun if people forget that it's April 1st, right?
And yes.
You get them.
Yes, Ben.
Right.
How about in your European zone? Do they care about April 1st?
If you were in
Holland right now, or you know,
way too sober people for that. And they're just like, no, not funny. It's a waste of time.
Waste of time. Just one of those American things. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be talking a little bit about March Madness. Anybody? I know Chris is wearing his UCLA sweatshirt.
Now,
hoodie.
Final four.
I do have Gonzaga, but I've got blown out everywhere else. I did. But I did not have UCLA, so congratulations on your Bruins.
Thank you.
Heading to the Final Four. My Tennessee Volunteers got bounced in the very first round by the Oregon State Beavers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and then the Tennessee Ladies got bounced as well. No pun intended, but it's tough to be a Vol right now. All right, so we have March Madness, so Final Four is next week, so we'll talk about that post. Baseball's back, and we'll get into the shout-outs. We had a lot of great people interact with us on Instagram mainly, a lot on Twitter, though. We constantly are upticking in those spaces, and we're really thankful for that. And I love the interactions we have. I know I ramble on about it every show, but I really do enjoy seeing that little, you know, that little thing light up in the corner that says 7 in the morning, and I'm like, wait, who wants to talk? Here we go.
We all love it.
What is it, melatonin, serotonin?
It's one of those tonins.
What? It releases melatonin? One of the tonins. Oh, dopamine. Dopamine.
Yeah,
dopamine.
It wasn't a tonin.
See, we are not experts. We
listen told to you them, we're not experts.
Yeah. All right, we want to shout out at Cuz We're Dads, C-U-Z We're Dads. They're two cousins that are also fathers, and they, I believe they have a podcast, and they're navigating fatherhood together. At Scotty Style, who completed a cartwheel in his front yard in his full doctor regalia. So that was fun. If you saw it on the gram, you would understand how cool it was. Dr. Louise Cleary, we actually have smart people, psychologist and mom out of Dublin, Ireland.
Wow.
So Dr. Louise Cleary is following us. At Amplify Yourself, they have Audacious Mamas and Audacious Life. They're a lot of fun. So that's an Instagram account I would recommend. At Home Dad Matters, Mike is a friend of ours. He actually runs the Bay Area City Dads Group, and he's always out on adventures with his kids. So Mike's a lot of fun to follow. One of the new people that I just started talking to this week, but is really great, at Dad Alorian _ life. See what he did there, Chris?
Yeah.
Do you know anything about that? Do you think that's Manda Data? And then my man, Shannon Carpenter, at Hossman at Home 53, he's got a book coming out, The Ultimate Stay-at-Home Dad, but it's basically a book for all dads. It's got 57 different dads contributing. Unfortunately, I didn't make the cut this year. Oh. But if Shannon has a sequel to his novel, I'll be there. But that is out. It's coming out. But you can go to the website and pre-purchase. It's on Penguin and blah, blah, blah. It's a practical, I don't want to get this right, a practical guide for modern day parenting geared toward stay-at-home dads, offering advice on everything from learning to cooking and cleaning with children. You should just sit with Mark.
Just hang out with Mark
just
for a week.
Sit with Mark for a week.
That's all you need to do.
Oh, same thing Mark, as reading the book. We love you. To dealing with mental health and relationships with easygoing perspectives that dads can use in their natural talents to parent any way they choose. So that's Shannon's book. And I pre-ordered it, so I hope you will too. So thanks all of those folks for following us and interacting with us. It's always a treat and a pleasure and a privilege. But let's come back with Parent Tweets of the Week. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Time now for the Tweets of the Week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for Tweets of the Week. These are Parent Tweets of the Week. I kind of hang out on Twitter every once in a while. Luckily, I only really follow the funny stuff. I stay away from the trendings, and I follow a very core group of parents, and they're incredibly funny, and we just kind of cherry pick. It's either topical or it's not, and I really don't care. But they made me laugh, so I hope they'll make you laugh too. But we had to go to James first at Exploding Unicorn. 6-year-old, I know why we eat fish sticks during Lent. Me, why? 6. They were Jesus's favorite. Did you give up anything for Lent? Ben, I'm looking at you.
I gave up trying to do Lent. Yeah.
You gave up trying to do Lent?
No, I'm just kidding.
Interesting. I led by example in my house. I tried to, and I gave up cheese.
Cheese, right?
Which has not been easy.
Yeah. That's hard.
It is. I feta cheese. Like, I love feta on salads, and I have not had a drop of cheese. So come when the Easter Bunny arrives.
Oh, boom.
Hopefully there's some mozzarellas.
Yeah, hopefully there'll be some pizza.
Just some eggs good in the face.
Pizza in that basket.
Yeah, and then my kids all failed. Like, it all starts altruistic. Like, all right, we were just talking about Lent in school, and I'm going to be nice to my brother. And I promise I'll be in bed by 9 every night reading my book.
Of course.
And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of life lessons around Lent, but we are not good at them.
It kind of goes down the path. Like, I'm giving up chocolate. Wait, no, wait. I'm giving up cookies. Wait, no, I'm giving up ice cream. It's like, what?
It's a very good
idea.
It's
a revolving door of what I've given up.
It's a very
today good... I gave up chocolate. Tomorrow it'll be cookies.
Yes, I totally agree.
Hilarious.
We will move down the pipeline of the tweets. This is from @copymama. I can relate to this. Parenting is basically just punctuating every conversation with various commands. Yes, I like your picture. Put your shoes on. Yeah. My favorite color is yellow. Finish your breakfast. No, fish don't snore. Go brush your teeth. Right?
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Every night. But isn't it part of multitasking as a parent?
You mean just like adding a command to everything you say?
Yes. But yeah. Because the kids, they don't care.
This morning I was like, I'm going to try to just talk to my kids without giving a command. It's so funny. Just this morning I was thinking that. Like, I feel like everything I say to them is a command, but I'm just going to say, first I'm going to say good morning. Then I'm going to
tell that's a good idea.
You to get up. Yeah. So,
but
yeah.
Commands later.
Yeah.
Do you do that? I think sometimes, like, you know, coming down the hallway to dish out a command, I think, like, before I walk in the room, how do I want to be presented?
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, totally. I actually have started to think about it. Like, instead of just blurting out or looking for faults, right? Like, if I will walk in with something good, but then I see clothes strewn all over the floor, yeah. You know, gigantic, and I'm like, hey, can you just pick up all your clothes? And I forget what the good part was.
And you were coming all in all happy, like, good morning. Hey,
that's every day. So yeah, I try and back up and go, okay, let me hug you. Let me say hello before I like rail on you for having stuff done or your chores not done. But it's truly like you go in, like you had a great grade on a test and you walk in and then you see a disaster and you're like, okay, what was the joy I was trying to bring to my house?
Yeah.
So it's totally that way.
Like, I'm not even, I am the neat freak in the house, but I'm not a neat freak. But if I go into a room that's hurricane level and I'm like, oh, haha, here we go. It's Saturday. Oh, dear God, look at this disaster. How can you live like this? I'm seeing things, like I'm repeating my parents verbatim. Yeah. I'm going to spend all day picking up after you people. I've been cleaning this. Is anybody ever going to empty the bathroom trash? Like the littlest thing.
Do I have to do everything around here?
But I think we should make attempts as fathers trying to be better fathers to at least catch yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just inevitable. Go to bed shouts down the hall at, 75 decibels. But, yes, it is funny because – and then kids, bless their hearts, they just keep on going. And you're not going to derail a six-year-old telling her about her new coloring project because there's Kool-Aid all over the floor at her feet. Because you're like, it's beautiful. Can we clean up the Kool-Aid now? Like,
yeah.
So let's put positive first, moving forward.
There you go.
Absolutely.
All right. So this is a little bit about getting old, but it's also about being smart and getting old, which we talk about, every once in a while. It's from Aloha Babe. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Let me retract. First one is from @Zimmer_Donald. @Zimmer_Donald. Same vein of thought. I explained to my daughter that when Netflix started, they used to send you DVDs. 6-year-old says in an old lady voice, back in my day, the internet used to come in the mail.
6 years old.
Oh, man.
All right. But on the same note, we'll go Aloha Babe, and then we'll talk. At Aloha Babe 2011 says, I asked my son to turn down his music, and he okay boomered me. We're turning the Wi-Fi off.
I have an app on my phone where I can just shut down people's. I go like, oh, you're done. You're off.
Can you really?
Heck yeah.
Well,
I do it all the time.
Honestly.
Xfinity.
Share.
Oh, man. I tell you what.
What is it? How do you do it?
So I have an Orbi. Which is my Wi-Fi net. So I use my Orbi, but I also have a certain company that also provides my Wi-Fi. So I have multiple layers of Wi-Fi ownage on my kids, and I use that all the time.
But is there an app that you can just shut them down?
Yes.
What is it?
You
can shut down
Orbi. Orbi is my net, but then my Wi-Fi provider, my cable provider, also has an app too. So I'll say to my 6-year old, like, hey, you need to set the table. I'll give you 12 more minutes on your iPad.
Oh yeah.
I set the timer. Then I hear it going beep 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 beep, and he's not up. I'm going,
really?
Okay, cool. I grab my phone. I go, whoop, you're off. And then within like a couple minutes, he's like, hey,
I'm
like,
off the internet.
I'm like, oh, cool. Your iPad's done for the day. Let's set the table now.
I am not aware of this wizardry, and well, I would like to ascertain this product.
But I would
your cable provider app.
I just make them go, you know, dig in the garden if they are bad. Because yeah. As you know, we are agrarian by nature.
As we all know.
Go dig in the garden.
Ben says we are agrarian.
I try to fit that in every that's podcast. Awesome.
There's nothing like putting your hands in the dirt and then as watching you know,
we
Netflix.
Need a t-shirt.
We are agrarian.
I'm going to make one for you, man.
I can't wait till one of my kids okay boomers me.
Dude, I get okay so
boomers. We're not boomers.
We're not boomers.
No.
I'm mean, not boomers. Boomers. I'm a Gen Xer. All right. Well, speaking of getting older, this is something I do, and I have a lot of fun with this one, but this is from at Mama Needs a Coke. love that. I see you, lady who locked your car twice, walked around the parking lot, and turned back to watch your car lock a third time. I see you, and you are my people. Let me tell you, I need to
that say, really happened. You know that happened.
Oh, I do it. I do it all the time. I maximize my key fob forever. Like, if I can't find the car, I'll set the alarm off. If I, like, you know, I'm not going to walk out into Trader Joe's with crap and not be able to find one. Because I have a minivan that's very common. So I see five of them in the same lot every time. That's why we put stickers on ours to differentiate. But my favorite, and parents, please do this to your children. Get your kids close to the car. And then turn your back and walk away and then set off your alarm. Then they can't get in, but the alarm's going off. I did it to my daughter the other day, and it was the highlight of my week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that was, it's very relatable. Thanks at Mama Needs Coke for the laugh. It's from Mommy Al, L-H-L-O-D-D-E-R. I can never say it. L-H Loader? All right, this will wrap this one up. Today I worked from home, ran 10 miles, homeschooled my kids, cleaned the house, made a delicious dinner, and got my kids to bed early. It's amazing what you can do when you accomplish when you lie. All right, Mommy Al, that'll sign us off. Coming up next, smart articles by smart people. This is an interesting one. It was a longer one. It's from the Christian Science Monitor. It's called This is Crazy Pants. Pandemic redefines parenting ideals. Coming up next.
Smart articles by smart people.
All right, it's time for smart articles by smart people. Let me tell you guys why I chose this. Is because there's a couple reasons. Excuse me. First of all, we had a great discussion last episode with, and Chris, I don't feel like you got full airtime on the table because we were talking about how to raise empathetic kids. And how important that was versus other things. And scientifically, it was very important. And then combine that with Jen and I, my wife and I watched, I can't remember the name. I think it's called Varsity Blues on Netflix. And it was about the college admission scandal.
Oh, yeah.
And entitlement and all this stuff. And I guess I kind of morphed both of those thoughts together. And I came to this article in the Christian Science Monitor by Stephanie Haynes. And it's called Pandemic Forces a Rethinking of Parenting Ideals. But I wanted you to finish what we were talking about because we were all saying, Mark, and I know obviously you weren't here, but
I listened.
We were talking. Thank you. He did. Our wives don't, but at least our husbands do.
I love my show, your show, our show.
But yeah, we've all been trying to be better in many ways. The pandemic's taught us a lot of things and made my world a lot more transparent in what I'm good at and what I really need to improve on. But let's just kick it off with you. What did you think of the article? And is there any synergy between what you were finishing up on last week and this article?
Yeah, I mean, last week, you know, the topic or, you know, of, you know, not focusing on purely success and obsessing about that and, you know, making good people and making sure that they have empathy and all of that. You know, I didn't really get into just how deeply that affected me because I feel like I really identified with the negative side of that where, you know, I kind of get lost in, you know, really pushing that Tiger Dad philosophy of mine where, you know, it's really all about, you know, success and did you do what you had to do and taking care of business and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, that was definitely one of the bigger, you know, or the most impactful article that one of the ones that we've talked about where I really kind of have made a marked change in my, like my parenting philosophy, or at least I'm trying to like emphasize more of the, you know, be good and be empathetic and all of that, be a good person versus like, hey, did you succeed or did you do your practice or what did you get on your test and all of that. And I think this week's article was really kind of I don't know, like a continuation of that theme where, you know, one of the themes was this kind of like pandemic kind of, you know, resets all the rules, right? Like, particularly with all of the, you know, pushing and all the rules that you have, it's kind of like all bets are off during the pandemic. And, you know, again, it's really kind of making me reflect on my own philosophy of like really pushing and being kind of like the Tiger Dad and trying to back off a little bit, especially during this time. So it really spoke to me, both articles actually.
You know, we've often talked about changing things and extracting if there's any reality and statistics aside, and we always say this in full respect to the people that have lost someone. We don't want to ever sweep that aside in lieu of our conversations. But do you think that intensive parenting will slow down per the article? Do you think enough people have learned in your friend circles, in your kid circles? Ben, yours are a little younger, but you can kind of get there. My wife and I were talking last week, and we have friends that are they're rushing back to travel ball, they're rushing back to practices, they're rushing back to not rushing, but they're getting back into the same exact double stress environment of working, trying to be the best parent, and then kids are trying to make their kids the best kids and give them the best opportunities. It's not a horrible thing. It's just a thing. So, but we're making conscious choices to really learn from this. And I think that's what this article kind of centralizes on. So I'm just curious. I mean, would you consider yourself a helicopter parent, a lawnmower parent, or like sprinklings of that? But, you know,
I'm definitely a helicopter parent for sure, you know, and I see it and it's almost intentional. You know, it was interesting to the article actually was one of the interesting parts for me was just that it called out the difference between generations and like, you know, our parents' generation mm-hmm. were like, you know, my dad's way of teaching me how to live was just to live and watch me live, you know, kind of thing. And for me, it's like, I feel like I'm sort of doing my kids a disservice by like just constantly hovering and constantly checking and doing things for them. And, you know, I'm obsessing about, you know, every little aspect of their lives. And like so much of that, you know, I'm putting it on myself, but like, you know, like I'll be thinking in the middle of the night about like, oh man, I bought the wrong Capri Suns for the softball practice and right. Now she's going to be shunned because I got the sugar-free one and now she's going to be an outcast or something like that, you know. And, you know, I think the pandemic has definitely forced us to kind of like take a step back, man, and really kind of like, you know, like, for example, we used to be such, you know, restrictive, conservative about screen time, for example. But now with pandemic, it's like it's part of their everyday life and it's how they go to school and everything. So, you know, they've figured out, you know, that all they have to say is, oh, this is for school or I'm doing my homework when they're on their screen time. And then I'm like, oh, okay, well then that's fine. But then I peek over and I'm like, that's Minecraft. What are you doing? You know, that kind of thing. But yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, the pandemic has definitely forced us to kind of compromise a little bit on those values. And I think, you know, leading into the previous week's, or tying into the previous week's article, like, you know, I think that's good. I think that it's really kind of gotten me at least to kind of check myself and kind of see how I've been like a little bit overbearing in that regard.
Yeah, well, and then I, you know, I often wonder too if it's generational. Your dad said this is the way it goes. Now you're saying this is the way it goes. My mom, it was funny with me because we really talked about the admissions scandal show, post show. My wife and I have a breakdown, and what they did was clearly wrong, but it also pulled the sheets back on a lot of the parental aggression to get into these quote-unquote top schools. And I never had really crazy pressure. Like, I got into schools, but mine was actually more shoulder-to-shoulder peer. Most of my friends were going to college, and I didn't want to be the guy that wasn't going to college. So that actually forced me to want to go to a better school. And then even I went to community college to ramp up my grades further to get into a better school and et cetera, et cetera. So, and then I, you know, I had a very interesting talk when my wife's parents were over, like, what is college still the big, huge priority? Of course it is statistically. Let's not be blind to that, but it is, it's very interesting, you know, there. But I want to move around the room here, the outdoor room. Ben, what do you have to say about that? Because you should have an interesting angle
on
based on all of that you're experiencing right now and your girls.
Cross international cross-cultural snobbery coming at you here. Spoiler alert. But, I mean, what comes to mind is that culturally in America, like, I do see a lot more hovering than if you travel around. I was thinking of a story when I read this about the way that, like, especially successful parents, like, we live in a pretty affluent area where a lot of people are very ambitious, and that kind of somehow goes together with control. I don't know. Just this is kind of it's a little bit ethereal, the thought, but I was in Laos, right, in the mountains of Laos once, and I remember seeing this this four-year-old who had a machete, and he was chopping, like, getting sugarcane ready for tourists. It's like this little naked four-year-old, and I'm like, my gosh, imagine my four-year-old with a machete, you know, like, the point of the article is like, he was like what they're capable of. Like, we kind of hold our kids back a little bit, where we are, I think. And what, you know, so I think we do hold our kids back, like, by trying to control them, and they're like, oh, leave me alone. And when we do leave them alone, yeah, they're capable of so much more than we kind of give them credit for. And so, I don't know. I try to say yes. That's been something I've been working on, is saying yes, like, 'cause it's so much more fun for all of us if I can say yes. So don't say no if you don't need to. I think the in the article she said this, I mean, there's no reason you can't sleep in your tent in the living room. Like, why not? Just say yes.
Right.
Like, and I automatically say no a lot. So I've been working on just saying, yeah, sure, you can have another slice of watermelon. Who cares? So that was really cool. Just say yes when you can. And I do think it is, you know, that the pandemic has definitely hopefully kind of coached us all into being a little more laissez-faire, you know, because we can be.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. Like, I have learned over the course of time that, like, time is finite, and you're not going to get this back.
Yeah.
Especially when they're itty-bitties. Like, this is so magical.
It's the best.
Right? And I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to continue to try and grow in this arena, this field of thought, because I, you know, there's this back and forth of, like, I do want them to succeed in life. And part of that equation in America is attaining a 4-year degree or a 6-year degree, and statistics back that. And then I also say, you can go to Costa Rica for 2 years. I would be totally comfortable with that if you're 20 and, you know, responsible, and just to go do that, or, you know, whatever that situation might be. Mark, what about you? Do you see yourself as, I wanted to get the terminologies right. Helicopter, lawnmower, there's all sorts of, like, general categories. Do you see yourself having any of those qualities? Do you feel like they've affected you?
I mean, I grew up with parents that were Depression era. And if I wanted to go to soccer practice or play soccer, I'd have to walk to the soccer field and sign myself up. My parents didn't take me. Yeah. They didn't watch my games. And it's not like I'm not hurt about it. It's just.
Yeah, I did too.
It's just how it was. Yeah. So I have a very different outlook on parenting as my wife does. It's interesting. My oldest child, when I was reading this article, I was like, yes, I was looking for the best mush, because I was a stay-at-home dad with my first kid. So I was looking for the best, you know, recipe for whatever I was, you know, I was grinding food and I was trying to like give her good stuff. And so I was being kind of hyper involved with that. But
for your first?
With my first. And now that I've got four, my whole attitude's a little bit more like I want to be a little bit more lax, a little bit more laid back, a little bit more fun, a little bit more yes, less no. And so my wife and I have very different views as far as that's concerned. She likes to schedule my kids with all sorts of opportunities, like the article says, and get them a lot of enrichment. And I'm down with that. But I also know that my kids will go to three practices and then not want to play anymore. And I grew up being like, if I sign up for the team, it was I had skin in the game. I had to keep playing. And as I coach different sports, I'm the same way. I'm like, well, you know, if my kid signs up to be on the team, if they want to quit after week three, I still have to go to the field and coach those other kids. And I'm not going without my kid. So, you know, I'm trying not to be that dad that wants to push them.
Why is coaching important to you?
I like to see the development. My kids also like that their dad is coaching. Like,
and I'm saying that with full admiration. Like,
yeah, no.
Good coaches are a beautiful part of life.
I mean, I only coach one sport. I coach soccer. I've been doing it for, you know, 15 years. I don't know. I enjoy bringing a group of people together, group of kids, and getting them into the zone and trying to let them have fun and teach them some skills. And if we can win some games, that's great. And if we're really, really good, that's fun anyway. But the bottom line is that, I think during the pandemic, this reset has been really healthy for my family. My kids are back into doing sports. The little one just started T-ball today. But I'm trying to curtail the constant barrage of everything all the time and get to the tent in the living room or the movie night or the things that you don't get when you have multiple kids doing multiple things in multiple places. So
yeah,
I really want to try and maintain this level of like, it's like work-life balance I always talk about. I want to talk about like activity, family life balance, maybe is what I'll call it. I want that to be the way, maybe not the way that it was, because it was a little bit too stark during the height of the pandemic. But now that we're pulling out a little bit, I still want to be mindful of keeping a little bit of a rein on being able to just have that downtime and that playing on the floor with cars time and the stuff that you don't have when you're running. So,
yeah, this conversation may fall on deaf ears, because I know a lot of parents are like, yeah, well, whatever. You know, here's what I need to do to get my kid into Smith, Vassar, Union, you know, Cornell, Drexel, Penn, you know, whatever. And that, you know, different, you're not in my world. So it doesn't, you know, I'm okay with that. Not that you need my okay. But like the paragraph that really caught my eye, and you'll be happy, this was in the quick read. The result has shed a new light on the American culture of intensive parenting, the full-time job of optimizing a childhood, meaning like practice, side thing, AP classes, you know, instrument, you know, drama club, et cetera, et cetera, just to get that little tick up to get into the higher institutions eventually. But it starts so early anymore. It's insane. And Linda Corky, a sociology professor at Wilfrid Laurier University, Ontario, says the pandemic is showing us the ways that the pre-pandemic norms of quote unquote, air quotes there, were to a large degree unachievable. You know, I think it makes it a lot rougher on the parents as well, right? Because
it's like a mini rat race. Yeah.
Yeah. And my wife really had her eyes open, because she was more of the worker. You know, she would commute into the city and go to work all day and then come home. And we've talked to this ad nauseum, but she's really seen over the course of the pandemic working from home. It's like, oh, I can just cut out, and take an hour and walk the kids, and we'll go get boba tea and popsicles. Or, you know, we'll just have a picnic in the backyard because we can, and it's 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, and we're not in a car chauffeuring to 4 different things. And then the worry that comes along with those competitions, like you're saying, and how's the child doing? Did I do the right things to prepare them? Did I, you know, from grades to sports to a tee shot, you know, there's a lot of pressure on every little decision. So it's conversely saying it, if you can figure it out, it'll lighten the load for everybody around you. I mean, the denominator is I just want my kids to be happy.
And who needs burnt out kids? That's really what it comes down to, is that, you know, kids, there's been articles about kids burning out really young. I knew a guy who had his daughter playing travel ball. She was a D1 athlete, and when she was a junior in high school, she tapped out. She's like, I'm done. And he had spent a decade taking her, flying her here for this and that and the other. And he talked to me about, he's like, Mark, don't have your kids be so involved with only one thing. Give them a nice variety, or give them time. Because if you don't, you could be like me, having a kid who was a D1 athlete, you know. And so,
I mean, that's where I'm at right now. And I think it's not just the articles, but this past week, you know, I was having a talk with my eldest daughter, who's kind of, she's 15 and she's a sophomore. So we're kind of, you know, for me, it's like, you know, prime, like get ready for college application time. But she literally broke down crying in the car. And I'm like, what's wrong? Why are you so sad? And she's just like, it's so hard and stressful. And like, that really,
you don't want to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, that really,
she's supposed to be having fun.
Exactly. That's, you know, it. And I feel like, you know, I'm trying to, you know, like the way that I, the logic was, is just like, you know, preparing her is going to give her success, which ultimately will bring her happiness. But the process of doing that is really kind of bumming her out and burning her out, to your point. And like, I definitely don't want to do that. So it's really a balancing act, right? Because it's hard to just ignore that philosophy of like, hey, succeed and be better than everyone else and be number one and all this stuff and everything in school and in athletics and all of that. And that's been my mantra since they were born. So it's really challenging to like, be like, take a step back from that, because it's so ingrained.
Take the pedal off the gas a little
bit. How do I let off the gas a little and not completely go the opposite way? But like, I don't want her crying in the car when we're in the Popeye's drive-thru, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, you know, I love you, you know, and I'm so proud of you, and I just want you to be happy. And you know, that's really the bottom line. And I think, you know, to the article's point, like, pandemic has forced us to kind of like give up a little, or have to like kind of sacrifice that a little bit. And hopefully, and as you said a bunch of times, if we don't come out of this different and changed and with like new kind of perspective on it, then like it was kind of all for nothing.
Has it not simplified us? This is an obscure thought, of course, but has it not kind of brought us back to the Stone Age a little bit, like simpler times? Has it not forced us into this time past? I feel like it brought us almost to like, this is the closest thing we have to a glimpse of like millennia ago, where people were simpler,
right,
and couldn't. I don't know. It's obscure, but it's in the stars that this is the balance of all things that exist. I don't know that.
It's the reframing of things.
It is a refreshing, and it gives us, it's the simplification is the silver lining for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, ultimately, we'll have to see, right? We'll have to see how it shakes out.
If all our kids fail.
I'm reading a really.
Sorry.
No.
No. I'm sorry. I just got sidetracked. I'm reading a really good book by Tim Shriver and Tim Rossenshirt right now. It's all about unity and humanity and what people are learning during the pandemic. Mm. And we'll talk about that on a future episode. But it's really opening my eyes to what we need to hold on to and what we need to. And it's interesting. That article kind of like gives a nice summary to it all, but ultimately it's going to be up to us to see when we go back, how we go back, and what it looks like. I think personally we've kind of learned some really good lessons that are not going to take back over our lives. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So let me end this, and thanks for the great conversation. You know who Bob Odenkirk is?
No.
Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fantasia comedian, SNL writer, SNL actor.
Yep.
Tons of credits. Anyway, he's a wonderful guy. Hate to name drop, but I did meet him once. When I was working SF Sketchfest, I used to drive all these comedians all over town, and Bob was in my car once and couldn't have been kinder. So when I saw his name pop up in an article today, I was like, oh, let's see what he has to say. And it's about fatherhood, and I think it kind of puts a bow on our conversation somewhat. I didn't really have a dad. My dad had a problem with alcohol, and he wasn't around very much, and I was pretty thankful that he wasn't around. Being a dad was supremely important for me. It was the biggest thing I've done in my life. It still is. And I think for me, trying to be agile and trying to listen and pay attention to what's happening in the moment can be very hard. You can get locked into certain ways of thinking of managing that job, and you just need to be awake and see what's really going on, because your kids are always changing, and it's hard to see that as a parent, and they're growing, and they're different from yesterday, and they're different from 2 months ago. So you've got to try to stay on your toes. For me, that might be a response to my father not being around. My goal is to simply be available. That means my kids know where I am. Not that I know where they are, but they know that if they need to call me or if they need to tell me something, they know where their dad is right now and always. It's not even physically where you are, but to know where dad is emotionally. To know he'll pick up the phone, to know he'll listen to me, and he'll hear the small or the big things, and he'll hear it. He'll hear it. And just to be that resource, whether they use it or not, I think that can provide a massive, deep degree of security for a person.
That's awesome.
So it doesn't fit in perfectly with our conversation, but I just thought it was too cool.
It's poignant.
That's awesome.
Too cool of something to slide by. Yeah. So thank you to Bob Odenkirk, and thank you to that great article. I will continue, as always, to explore these topics and see if we're screwing up or not and trying to fix it. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit of dad self-care, and we'll see how you guys are doing, and we'll check in with Chris and see how he's doing, because plank caps don't count. Coming up next, 3, 2, 1, go.
Time out for 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, we're back with 3, 2, 1, go. It's so funny because I've had this little chart and I keep pushing it over on the episode grid. I think I had it originally episode 27 and then we get sidetracked. I push it to 28, 29, 30. I'm like, I'm going to talk about it tonight. Dang it. It's the lockdown toolkit. Easy things you can do to unstress and unwind. I want to see if you do them. So I'll just go through. I'll give it, it's in a four square grid, and it's what activates in your brain. Very simple things. They can calm you, chill you out, or energize you, depending on what you want to do. So the first one is dopamine. It's the reward chemical, right? Mm-hmm. Completing a task. Just say yes or no, or give me an example. We'll start with Chris. Do you complete tasks regularly?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Ben? All right, that's pretty gimme. Mark? Yeah. Doing self-care activities.
I'm trying to.
That's a no. Yeah, I'm a yes. Crick's a no.
I'm a yes.
You need to start.
I'm going to buy you a bike. We're going to ride together. Headspace app, and I'm on like the third basic the 3-minute breathing.
That's a start.
Great.
Yeah, start. Yeah, I do calm. I like some Tamara Levitt, but yes, good. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Eating food. Yeah, that's always good. Reward chemical, celebrating little wins, not big ones, but little ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Trying to.
I'll just think about simple ones. Like putting laundry away is a little win. Like I find satisfaction in tidiness things.
I mean, like if you have a to-do list, you like crossing it off.
Yes.
I love that.
And it's big dopamine.
Yeah.
I came home tonight. Thing. I did dishes. I cleaned up the kitchen. Nobody was home. I felt like.
Cross
I feel like
list.
I had won.
You did. All right. You won.
All right. So that's dopamine. The next easy one is oxytocin, which is the love hormone.
Finally.
Odd response.
32 episodes in, finally.
Playing with a dog or playing with an animal.
Oh, yes.
These are ways to achieve it, and I just want to see if you guys do this.
Playing with a dog?
Playing with a dog. Love it.
Cat. Yeah. I have cats.
Yeah. I mean, giving the cat, you know, a little scratch on the head, sure.
Oh, nice. We have a bunny named Doug that lives in our living room, and he's potty trained, so he literally just hops around the living room all day. And it, I swear, it's like we call makes him the therapy happy. Bunny. It makes everybody happy.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
The kids will break away from their Zooms and come straight to Doug and hang out with Doug.
Animal therapy is a real thing.
Yeah. I was the dad that was like, yeah, we're never going to get a dog and all that. And now that we have one, it's like I like every in between meetings, like I need a little a little puppy fix. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
like
unconditional.
That really kind of is soothing.
Somebody said, like my friend who's single and has a cat, she's like, it's just about having another heartbeat in the house.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just cute. Oh, interesting. It's Mark's got like seven
heartbeats.
Cats?
Yes, I have extra hearts, but no, I do have two cats. And I tell you, I brush them. They come hang out with me when I cook. They sit in the kitchen. It's for me, it's like, it's like you're my people.
You're going to be.
You're not going to disagree with me. Just going to hang out. You don't ask for a whole lot.
They meow. I'd meow back at them. They meow some more. My kids think I'm crazy.
I just had a great glimpse of old Mark, like crazy. Cat guy,
yeah. Dude, where's Grandpa?
He's in
that back room.
Yeah. He's somewhere with the cats.
Should we call hoarders?
No.
Hey, but it works, right? I think that I'm addicted to that little boost of oxytocin because, like, now I look forward to like, oh yeah, I got to go see the dog, kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's a reward, man.
So that's a biggie for me. Listening to music, I told you guys I have music on all the time. Yeah. To me, it's very soothing. Like, I even bend a day around it. Like, I'll be like, okay, today's Hawaii day. And I will put on a Hawaiian station, and I will put on a nice Hawaiian-smelling candle, whether it's pikake or whatever.
That's a nice candle, by the way.
And I just, is it pikake? Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I've never heard that word. Hibiscus? I love it.
Furukake?
Hibiscus is another one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, I love, we're all music people, so yeah.
Oh, music's except, huge.
You're not a music kid, are
you? I play a lot of instruments.
That's right.
Musical, but like, yeah, I don't listen to a lot just lately because I'm so... I don't have the time. You know what I mean?
All right. No Slipknot for you. Let's just keep the happy train moving.
I'm trying.
Do something nice for someone. We try to do every day.
Everybody gets...
Even if it's just waving to a neighbor, complimenting
a
barista.
Are you asking if we do it or if we feel great?
These are things that can extract this in your body. So they're just giving you easy examples of just simple stuff you can do.
Yeah.
You wouldn't ordinarily think about, but it's actually activating parts of your brain.
Of course.
Well, I think we all do that. Give compliments.
Yes.
I make it a point to. I actually have a lot of fun with that. All right. Serotonin, the mood stabilizer.
You know.
These are things that you can do to mood stabilize if you're kind of getting in a rabbit hole of emotion. And I do. I get more anxious. Like, my brain just starts spinning, especially if I'm in a doom scroll by mistake. And I'm like, how? And then I just have to completely swipe left. By meditating is one of them. Exercising or running. Now we've got the bike. I can't tell you how great I feel after a 30-minute, 45-minute class. Like, those endorphins are just popping. Huh. Sun exposure.
I would say, yeah, just go outside.
Yeah. A little vitamin D can do you well. Walking in nature. Mm-hmm. Mark, you live near a beautiful park. You guys are up there a lot, right?
Yep. Lake Chabot is a great place to hang.
Well, I don't know why they threw swimming in here, but yes.
Sure.
Seriously, my son, my almost 15-year-old son, he could be having a really bad day. We send him to swim practice. He comes back a completely different person.
Really?
Oh, completely different.
I don't know.
Did you write this article?
Yeah. Who, me or him?
You.
No.
I don't know how swimmers do it. And full props to him. Because my most dreaded thing in life is getting in the pool. And not because I can't swim. Not because I don't like being in the pool. But
the
temperature difference.
Yes, me too, man. I'm super sensitive to the cold.
Me
I don't
too.
Like it.
Oh,
man.
The ocean, I'm like, you know how men are. You get to the knees.
Yeah, I'm good.
And you're like, okay, I got to make a commitment now.
It's
you going in full body or not?
Just do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a full body workout. It's a massive cardio workout, and you come out feeling accomplished.
And there's something about the water that's very calming.
I get that.
So he swims in all weird weathers, and all my kids swim. So it's just it's a family thing.
And then one of them is cycling. Did I mention what I did today? Have I talked about my bike enough? Because I'm from Philly.
Are
I
you
wear
from
cologne.
Philly?
By the way, I've switched to my summertime cologne. Once the temperature's over 70,
you have like a little cologne shelf. Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your summertime cologne? Drakkar?
Well, it's Drakkar.
Drakkar Noir.
Drakkar Noir.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Right after I'm done dancing to Milli Vanilli in my driveway.
Girl, you know it's true.
Oh, ooh, goodness.
Ooh, ooh, I love you.
Girl.
What was there other?
I can sing that in Chinese, dude, by the way. Just so you know.
Oh, my goodness. Blame it on the rain.
Are we doing this again?
We're doing this.
Oh, the rain. That's right. We did the rain songs. All right, so that's serotonin. Final one. Endorphins. The painkillers. Laughter. Laughter. Easy thing. Or watching a comedy. I do that a lot. Like, if I need a complete break, and I invite the kids because I usually watch pretty light stuff, I'll come out here to the barn and I'll just throw on something funny for 20 minutes. We're addicted to that Hot Wing show.
Oh, yeah. Hot Ones or whatever.
Have you watched it?
Yeah. I love that show.
Yeah. Some of them I'm swearing, like Gordon Ramsay says swearing. Oh, it's amazing. In a nutshell, there's a guy, very smart gentleman, that has interviews with all sorts of celebrities. And the only caveat is they have to eat hot wings, and then they have, like, I like to say 8 wings, 10 wings.
It gets hotter and hotter.
Yeah, and it gets hotter and hotter on the Scoville scale.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scoville scale. Yeah, you guys can handle that.
Hotness meter.
Yeah, until, like, literally there, it's, like, through the roof. And, like, some of the celebs, like, are really reacting. You could see the waves hit them, and they'll just start crying. And he'll ask them very cerebral questions.
I've actually seen this show, one of the few shows.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good.
Yeah, so anyway.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, my little guy and I, and we're into Marvel, too, so we watch a lot of Marvel. But, yeah, dark chocolate. And finally, kind of wraps them all in there. Exercising.
So, hold on. Did you say cacao has some kind of like
serotonin?
Absolutely. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
This is endorphins.
Oh, endorphins. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. It's really good for you.
Dark chocolate is, right?
Very good.
And the
for
higher
you.
The percentage of cacao, the better the.
Yes.
So you can just
so you want to go like 86%. You want to try and hit a high number so you can still edible?
86, not 85.
86 or Milky Way level?
No, 80, like,
I don't think so.
Okay, so we have a local chocolatier here in our area called Ghirardelli. Ghirardelli?
Jeff.
Anyhow.
No, he's actually telling a true story because when you live here, you can smell the chocolate factory on certain days.
Yeah.
The chocolate wafts over this part of the valley. And my kids will be like, oh, they're cooking chocolate. And then you can go to the Ghirardelli store. It's like Willy Wonka's little mini store.
Okay.
If Willy Wonka had a mini store.
Yeah.
And you can go and buy the chocolate.
Yep.
But yeah, it smells like industrial waste on one day. And then it smells like chocolate on the other.
And then they used to have a coffee roaster over there, too.
It doesn't smell like industrial waste. Huh?
They used to have a coffee roaster over there, too. So sometimes you'd smell coffee. Sometimes you'd smell chocolate.
Pete's. In Alameda.
Yeah.
Pete's is right near you.
There was a place, actually. Anyway.
Mother's Cookies, I used to drive by. Remember on the freeway?
We got it all.
And then the Wonder Bread Factory when I was a kid, I remember driving by, Glenn.
The people from Ireland.
All right, if you want to go down this rabbit hole, I will tell you that when I grew up, the Nabisco plant was near my house.
Ooh,
and
Wheat Thins.
No, Nilla Wafers.
Nilla Wafers.
Oh, you could smell them 10 miles away. It was the craziest thing. The smell of Nilla wafers just through the air when you're on your schoolyard.
That's pure magic.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty cool. It's almost like the chocolate here. But yes, chocolate is very good for you. Center All right, coming up next, things that make us smile. All right, guys, it's time for the show wrap, and we usually wrap with either something that made us smile personally or something that you caught in the good news channels, or I don't know if you just saw a pretty sunset last night, but things that make us smile. I've got a biggie coming tomorrow. Well, day after tomorrow. The Griswolds are off to the Grand Canyon.
Nice.
Yes, they are. And who knows how that's going to shake out, but I'm excited for that. We've become an adventure family somewhat, so that's our next trek. And we're currently looking at our summer trek also. If there are any suggestions, and I talked about this, but I still love Waffles and Mochi. It's the new kids food show that's on Netflix. It's incredibly fun. I watch it with my six-year-old every day, and I'm happy that you guys are all here. Mark had his trip safely and they had a lot of fun and they're back, and that we're all together again and get to do that. thing. And we booked our first guest. So that's all things that make me smile. Ben, booyah. How about you? And my family. Always have to mention
always
my
your family. I would say a perfectly cooked ribeye that I shared with my buddy this week.
Tonight?
No. It's just this week. I don't know why that came to mind first, but just like, I don't know, just a perfect ribeye on the grill. Meat on the grill, spring, buddies. We had some friends over in the backyard. Just some perfect steaks and friends again.
Isn't it kind of like heartwarming to know that that's going to hopefully start happening again regularly?
Oh man, I can't
wait. Yeah, man. We've been.
Well, you never cared.
We never cared.
You've been firing it up since December.
Firing it up. Fire up the grill. It's 30 degrees outside. It's not freezing. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just gathering.
Now it is. I get it. Yeah. Good food, good friends. Chris?
I alluded to it earlier, but like one of the highlights of the week was, you know, having that breakthrough conversation with my oldest daughter, and just, you know, we snuck out. We're not allowed to eat like fast food, and I took her to Popeyes.
We're not allowed by who exactly?
By the wife. Yeah, she's not.
Did you get a chicken sandwich with
so
the pickle?
She was gone. I got the chicken sandwich, of course, but it started out with the tears a little bit, but man, that really kind of turned around, and I think that we had one of the rare kind of like bonding moments. So hopefully that's a memory for her, but at least it was for me, the Popeyes drive-thru crying and trying to turn it around and doing so, I think.
I think 100%. I mean, there's all those cliche phrases I could throw at it, but I think she's going to remember that 20 times more likely than she'll remember a golf score from a random weekend in a random tournament.
Maybe.
Good point. Mine don't even remember my name most days. Mark?
I had a good weekend. I had my 11-year-old's birthday drive-by, and nice. People ended up, like, hanging out, parking, and getting out of their cars. And
wow.
We had kind of like a court block party sort of thing happening, and it was just nice to see everybody coming by and showing love to my daughter. So that was a whole lot of fun. We had a really good time. And then awesome. She had to pick all the foods. We had Los Pericos for lunch.
Ooh.
And we had pupusas for dinner. Hey. So like that was all her jam. And then Sunday, my nephew had a graduation party. And I haven't hung out with my sisters or my mom in over a year.
Wow.
And so we all socially distanced and hung out with the family, and that was super cool to like just spend some time with them and see them, and you know, it's one of those things to be really thankful for, because you don't get to see family all that. I mean, we haven't. We've been very careful with social distancing, so that was it's a good weekend. It's a really good weekend.
Well, you know, there's a lot to smile about right now. The food's always a great denominator too.
Yeah,
I look forward
to food, didn't we?
Food brings people together.
Totally. Yes, it does.
Yes. Well, let's just hope and pray that everything keeps moving in the right direction, and things become more frequent and more regular, and we keep treating the frontline workers and heroes as the people they are, and let's not forget all that when this is finally done, because it's brought humanity a little closer and a little more caring about each other, and, you know, that can make everybody smile. But thanks for a great episode. Thanks for coming by. Our first outdoor episode above 70 degrees was very exciting.
Nice.
No winter coats tonight. But thank you to all our listeners. Please like, share, retweet, Instagram, whatever you want to do, but have fun. But the biggest and most important thing you could do for us is leave a review or share. That would really help us out and help us grow and keep on going. But it is a labor of love, and I would do this regardless. So thanks for your time.
All right.
Dad Time Out Show is out of here. Thank you, listeners.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.